The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I want to do a couple things today, and I have two or three little things to weave together. We have on the screen, and I hope you can see it or maybe jockey a bit to see it, but there are four or five pictures from Marianne and Greg's recent pilgrimage. Get where you can see those, because I think there are some illustrations there that are very helpful. But I was also thinking about scripture references that talk about pilgrimage. Now, if you were in one of our small groups, you may have already heard this, but it's good to hear again, I think. Over the last little bit, particularly with the retreat, we've been talking about pilgrimage and journeys and likening a pilgrimage to the journey that we are on. And one thing I think that was helpful that Lisa Deem shared with us, she said sometimes you hear that really the destination is not the point, but the journey is really what it's all about. She said the journey is also very important, but let's not forget that there is a destination we have in mind, and that is a heavenly city. And so today, as we are working through Psalm 121 particularly, I want you to think about pilgrimage and the journey, but also the destination. A few scriptures, though, for you that have to do with a pilgrimage or walking or running or some sort of journey. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 has this little phrase, "Let us run with endurance the what? The race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." So there's both the idea of the journey and the destination. And the race is set before us. The path is set before us. Here's one from 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by..." You know that passage. So this journey, this pilgrimage that we're on, is also one that is about faith. Galatians 5, 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." So we walk by faith, not by sight, and also with the Spirit. Here's another one, Ephesians 4, 1 through about 3. This phrase, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." And then he goes on to talk about patience and gentleness. It sounds to me a little bit like the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 8, 4 through 5 says, "We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There it is again, about walking in spirit, not by flesh, not by sight. Here's one from the Psalm, Psalm 86. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will walk in your truth." From Isaiah 30, 21, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or the left." Are you listening for God's voice to say, "Walk over that way, walk over this way"? Or are we walking too fast or too loud or too noisily or too entertained by something else to hear that voice? Isaiah 30, 21. You ought to mark that down. "You will hear a word behind you." Here's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Okay? And then finally, Psalm 26, 3 says, "Your loving kindness..." Remember that the Hebrew word for loving kindness is chesed, which means covenant love. It's not an ooey-gooey Valentine for Jesus kind of a love. It's a love based on covenant that God Himself has established and promised in Himself. "Your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." We've been talking about pilgrimage. We've been talking about journeys. We've been talking about walking. And it occurred to me, especially given that we have Psalm 121 in our lection for this week, that the Jews would have been intimately familiar with the notion of pilgrimage. Why? Because at least three times a year, all Jewish people, at least the males of the household, would make a pilgrimage to where? Jerusalem, for one of the feasts. And though Psalm 84 is not a pilgrimage psalm, I wanted to turn there first, please, just so you can see a psalm that talks about pilgrimage and it talks about the destination. You know this hymn because we sing bits of it from time to time. How lovely is your dwelling place, right? Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So the psalmist is talking about the dwelling place of God, the temple, and longing to be in the courts of the Lord. Look down now at verse number 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. By the way, you see the word there, Selah? The truth is, scholars are not exactly sure what it means. But one good conjecture is, for lack of a better word, jam. No, not the spread, but hit it. Improv, go, praise, spontaneous praise. It may have been a marker in the hymnal for, hey, time to let go. Not sure. I prefer to think of it that way. Verse number 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts, what? On pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. I love it. Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Then there's the phrase you know. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So here's this notion, even in this psalm, that isn't necessarily a pilgrimage song, about the desire to go up to Jerusalem and be in the courts of the Lord. Now, I want you to flip over to 121, please. Psalm 121. And if I'm going over material that you already know about, forgive me, but I think it's worth keeping in mind. There are a set of psalms that begin at 120 that are called psalms or songs of ascent. And there are 15 of them from 120 all the way through 134. You might want to make a little note about that. That little set of psalms, those 15, are called songs of ascent. And there is some conjecture about why and how they were used. Because there are 15 of them, some scholars believe that they were psalms of ascent that are associated with the 15 steps that would have been between the court of the women and the court of the Hebrews in the temple precincts. So there could be something about priests ascending those stairs and using a different psalm for each time or something like that. Most people, though, believe that these particular 15 psalms of ascent were psalms of pilgrimage that would have been sung and would have been used as people were coming to the temple at one of the special times of year when everybody has to gather. So when you are on pilgrimage to the temple in ancient times, you may have sung one of these psalms. One of the things you notice about them is that they are comparatively short. They are fairly compact, and they have some interesting alliteration and other kinds of devices that might have helped them to be easily memorizable. I'm not sure about that. One thing about Psalm 121 that you might not know is that in Jewish tradition, it is often sung or at least hung in written form in the labor and delivery room. And one other place that it is used, when people are being instructed or there is test taking or instruction particularly associated with rabbinical schools, this particular psalm would have been sung there. So the next time you're about to take a test, you might want to just read through Psalm 121. There are some wonderful things in there. At any rate, this notion of pilgrimage is woven in and through Psalm 121. Now, I want to read Psalm 121, and then I have a few little thoughts, and I want to get some feedback from you as we look at four or five key places. And we're going to punctuate our conversation with some pictures that Marianne and Greg took on their walk. By the way, that looks like a painting. It's beautiful. Here's Psalm 121. Let me read through the whole thing and then we'll go back and get some high points. I'm reading in the NIV today. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Somebody have a different translation there? Anything different? Keep you from evil. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. 8 short verses, pretty compact, and the idea of pilgrimage is woven all through that. Imagine that you are on your way to Jerusalem and you are singing this psalm. Now, the first verse says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Back to the first slide, if you would, Doug. Where does my help come from? Well, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So, you walkers of the way of St. James, do you happen to know where this is? I just picked it out because it's hills. Sometimes we think of this psalm as, I will look to the mountains, I will look to the hills. That's where my help is coming from. Don't read it that way. That's not what it says. It says, I'm looking up to the hills. Is that where my help comes from? No. And why would they have looked to the hills? Well, in times of battle, your help may have arrived from that direction. It may not have. Also, the enemy may have appeared over the crest of that hill. But the psalmist here is saying, I'm going to look up to the hills. Maybe the psalmist is getting near Jerusalem and sees the hills in the distance. Where is my help going to? Am I finally going to make it? The destination is in mind, but oh my goodness, I can't seem to get there. I was talking with someone the other day about, I love for some reason to read accounts of the climbs up Mount Everest. And they say that one of the most difficult places is in the last couple of hours because the peak of Everest seems much closer than it actually is. Because there is a kind of a valley between you and the next place and it looks close and I think I can get there. Oh, I'm going to push ahead. And sometimes hikers push themselves beyond what they should because they think it's close and it's not. They expend their energy and sometimes don't make it. Mount Everest, listen, is littered with the frozen bodies of people who didn't make it. Because the destination was a lot farther than they thought. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the hills. It doesn't come from army. It doesn't come from a resupply. No, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Also in ancient times, remember that sometimes high places were where there were altars to false gods. The false gods and their high places are not where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Do you happen to remember looking up at some hills on your journey and thinking what? In case you weren't able to hear her, she said, oh my gosh. Another hill to climb. Look at the next verse. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I picked out this particular picture because you'll notice that the path, at least I hope you can tell, is very rocky and uneven. And it's slanted down. Now, Marianne shared with us a couple of weeks ago that one of the hardest parts of their pilgrimage was not climbing up the hill, but going down the other side. Marianne, can you tell us why it's more difficult to go down than up? It's the jarring of the knees and the joints and all of that. Okay. Well, and I'll bet sometimes you can't walk straight down, but maybe have to do a little bit of zigzagging in order to step from one angle or place to another. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you this. As you are on your pilgrimage, as you are on your walk, as you are fixing your eyes on Christ Jesus and walking the path set before you, are there some rocky places? Yeah. And you finally made it to the top of some sort of mountain and you think, hooray, I've arrived, and then realize that there's another place on the other side. Anybody got an example of that in their own life? You climbed a mountain on your pilgrimage only to realize that the view was pretty nice there for a minute, but then you got to go down the other side, maybe on some rocky steps. Verse number 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day. I loved this picture, you guys, because obviously the sun is out and it's beating down, but you're walking along this light, dappled pathway. And you see the lovely shade and the shadows of the foliage. It's beautiful. It looks like it might even be a bit uphill, but the nice thing is you've got shade at your right and left hand. Along the way, I know that this has to, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you give us some examples, concrete examples, of how God was your shade at your right hand? You could tell His presence is especially with you. There may have also been times when you felt like He wasn't at all, but can you think of a time or two that you're definitely feeling the presence of the Lord right there along with you? So Heather and Marianne are saying, I hope you heard it, that one of the times in their pilgrimage that they most felt God was the shade at their right hand was when they were in pain. That'll preach right there. The psalmist goes on to say, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Here's a picture of probably sunset, I'm going to take it. I'm not sure. I loved the contrast in this photo between the black of the horizon and the foliage and the trees and then the light. Listen, you may be on a pilgrimage right now that's hard and you may be in pain and you may have made it to the top of your mountain only to find another mountain, a mountain of bureaucracies, a mountain of stuff that you have to crawl down on the other side. But the psalmist says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And I love this final phrase. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, now and forevermore. Isn't that a lovely photograph? These two notes and then I'm done. The psalmist reminds us that God watches over our comings and our goings. Notice that he doesn't say that the Lord will bear us there. We still have to walk the pilgrimage. We still have to do the walk. Marianne said, these people came along beside her and said, can I help? And short of a golf cart, I'm not sure what they could have done. She still had to walk it out. We still have to do the pilgrimage. And along the way, there will be trials. So what did we learn today? Can God teach us something through the power of the Holy Spirit through a simple psalm of ascent? Yeah, we're not in exile. We're on a pilgrimage, and we have to walk it out. But our help doesn't come from the hills or from the world. Our help comes from the Lord Himself, and He will walk right beside us. Shade, sun will not harm, and He watches over our comings and our goings. There's got to be some comfort and peace in that. Are you on a pilgrimage right now? Are you in an easy spot with cool mist? Are you in a tough place where the sun is beating down? Are you in a spot where you can't even see the prize in the distance? Our help is in the Maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Lord, we're in different places in our pilgrimage. Some of us are in the Valley of Baca, where it is cool and the walk is easy. Some of us, Lord, have just reached to the top of a mountain only to discover that there's a rocky path leading down the other side. Some of us, Lord, think we can see our destination in the distance, but there's a lot of boring path between here and there. Lord, some of us are on the cusp. We're just outside the gate of the destination. Wherever we are in our pilgrimage, help us to remember that you watch our comings and our goings, and that we must walk it out. But the beauty is that you walk beside us, especially if we ask. Help us to see where you are walking with us. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for this time. Bless it now, Lord Jesus, through the power of your Spirit, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.